Hi, and welcome to the DIY Photo Organizing Podcast, focusing on topics to help you with your photo management. I'm Chantal from Photos in Order.
And I'm Fiona from Photo Helper. Hey, Chantal, how are you?
Hi, Fiona. Very good.
Good. So today I'm thrilled to be able to let you all know that we have another wonderful guest with us, don't we, today, Chantal?
Absolutely.
So we're thrilled to have Libby Jeffrey from Memento with us today. Hey, Libby, how are you?
Hi there. It's lovely to be here.
Hi there. Finally.
I know. We have spoken about Memento a number of times on this podcast. So it's a real privilege to be able to have you as our special guest today. So for those that are listening that don't know Memento, we are Memento is an Australian company. So even though our listeners are a lot from all over the world, we have a heavy base of listeners in Australia, and we'll be talking about the services and things, obviously, that Memento have. But I thought I'd just quickly let you know that Memento is Australia's most established and awarded print-on-demand photo book. And they're well known for the beautiful quality and premium books that they have. They really are. Chantal and I have not made it a secret that you're our most preferred printing of photo books.
Thank you.
Yeah, really beautiful. So I've been for two decades or more, and just really making it easy for both consumers, professionals in the photography world, designers, and even students really to get their work displayed into a premium format, which is beautiful. So we'll talk about the business and sort of how you got started and things like that, but just a little bit about Libby. So Libby's actually the co-founder and marketing manager for Memento Photo Books, and has really been instrumental in guiding people through that process of managing their photo collection and helping them to create the most beautiful photo books. So obviously for personal types, for historical, commercial, a whole range of different reasons why people print, as we've talked about before in different episodes. Libby's also very active in the industry and helping with community groups. And above all, is just a really lovely person. We've just had a little bit of a chat this morning before we've recorded, and enjoys a whole range of different things. Creative. I can see that you've got a real creative bent about you. Enjoys yoga, cultural experiences. And, yeah, it's just lovely to have you on, Libby, and be able to have you share a little bit about your passion for this industry. So I thought maybe when we start off, obviously with a company like Memento and the history that you've had, could you just share with us a little bit about sort of where that launching to come into this industry started, and just a bit about the heart behind you and why you do what you do?
Sure thing. Well, it might surprise you to know that I'm not a professional photographer, and neither is my partner at Work and Play, Jeff, who is also my co-founder along with James. We weren't professional photographers and we didn't work in the print industry. However, we loved photography. We were very excited about the launch of, you know, the digital camera. Jeff and I also loved travel. So way back in 2002, we went on a trek around Canada, and because of Jeff being a lovely geek, we had the most technologically rigged up camper van you can imagine. So we spent our time traveling around during the day, taking photos, taking videos, and then in the evening we'd have our own private little slideshow looking through all the photos that we'd captured that day. And of course we captured a lot more than we used to when we were using film. But we loved that process so much that we started thinking about, how can we keep traveling and make money at the same time and do something related to photos and photo books, because Jeff, being the lovely geek that he is, had used the Apple photo book printing service, and we were both really disappointed with the output. So basically, it was the printing was very dull, the paper was ultra glossy and didn't have a great feel to it. So we decided, because of all of these things, that we would start a photo book company.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The nice. Other thing was, though, that we thought it was interesting that the camera had advanced to allow us to take digital photographs, but nothing had really changed in the world of printing photos. And we loved the way that a photo book allows you to bring a whole collection together and to be able to add in or combine other kinds of graphics, in our case, like a map of Canada in that first book, but also text and stories that could be integrated as well. So I love to say to people when we do events that really we were just like them. Mm-hmm. We loved photography. We loved travel. We also loved family memories. So interestingly, my first book created the Canada book first. That was like our prototype. Mm-hmm. Then the first book I created was actually my dad's memoirs, or the first draft of my dad's memoirs. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a large project to start with, as I'm sure you ladies will confirm, have probably discussed before as well. That was bringing photos together from, you know, decades, mm-hmm. probably centuries, if I had the ancestors in there. And that was also what we loved, the storytelling that we could do mm-hmm. with the photo book. So, yeah, that's where it began. So we're completely Australian owned and made. Mm-hmm. Everything's made here in Sydney, and we had to learn a lot about photo printing. And from the research that we've done, we were the second in the world, which is pretty amazing. And we have also become well known internationally in the print on demand photo book scene from the printer's perspective, the print company. So the HP Indigo is the benchmark, the international benchmark for mm-hmm. photo book printing. HP have their base or their headquarters for Indigo in Israel, and they know about us very well. Apparently we are one of the few companies in the world that has pushed them on image quality. And we've learned a lot, because our focus always was and continues to be accuracy in color reproduction. So yeah. The best print quality, premium print, but on top of that, software. I should also mention that although we weren't photographers and printers, Jeff, myself, and James, we all came from the world of digital media. So we met in the heady days of CD-ROM production in the mid-90s in a CD-ROM company. Mm-hmm. And we knew about different content, audio, text, graphics, video. And both of the boys, James was a coder, mm-hmm. and Jeff was a coder, but he worked more on websites, but he was an engineer. So they had the skills that allowed us to develop our own software.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
And so I have to say, I think that is one of the things that is so, it's really lovely to hear the story actually, Libby, because it really explains why Memento has stood out as such, not just, the product that's produced, but it really has got a reputation for being specific in each of those areas with that software And with the ease and the process, and then with the customer service. So it's really lovely to hear that story. I didn't know that story. And it just makes a lot of sense, because when you are coming at it from the end user already in the whole production, especially in that software, because now we need to be able to have a smooth process to get to that end result. And people's levels of experience is so varied.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there, because basically we were our own customers. We wanted to create a company that, well, we wanted to use their products and services, and we wanted to work in. But our objective was to, with the software, which we provided for free as an enabler to get the books printed, we wanted to make it easy for anyone, regardless of your skill level when it came to technology or to creativity, regardless of your age or wherever you were, well, as long as you were in the Australian, New Zealand region, we wanted to make it easy for anyone to be able to produce a photo book.
Yes.
And, you know, we had people around us. I'm not a techie guru, but I had worked a lot with designers and creative projects. So we all had an eye for images and composition. And we're really quite a small company. I think, given what you just said then, Fiona, I'd like to add that we really are. It's like it's a family-owned business. Yes. It's ours. Yes. We have staff who have been with us for over 15 years. Mm-hmm. I think we have 13 staff right now who've been with us for more than 13 years.
Wow.
So we, you know, they're experts in what they do, and we've all developed the systems together. And yeah, quality at every level has been our defining feature. And that also goes to the customer service that we offer. I think a lot of our customers love the fact that they can pick up the phone and speak to somebody in Australia about their order or any, you know, issue they or something they need to know about the software. And we don't rush them off the phones. If people need, you know, time, then we take it. And I'd just love to tell you one of the sweetest stories that I heard, which was one of the guys who was a technician who would come in and work on the printer when it needed it. He was in the Qantas lounge in, I think it was LA Airport a few years ago, and he heard these two women, you know, who were obviously traveling later in life, and he heard them say, one of them say, "I can't wait to get home and make my photo book, my memento photo book." And the other lady said, "I love Memento." She said, "So do I." She said, "I love how they never make me feel stupid." It didn't matter what question she asked. And I just thought that was beautiful. And that's exactly the way we want it to be. Yeah. And I can't tell you how lovely it is when we see books come through, especially, I think, family histories.
Mm-hmm.
And family histories told through a recipe book format.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just so special and beautiful. Their value really doesn't fully take place until a few years, possibly even 100 years down the track, when their descendants can read it. And that's what I often say to people is, when you're making a photo book, it's actually not so much about you. I know right now it is, in the moment it is. But really, it's for those people in the future who won't be sitting beside you when they're looking through it, who get to learn about you. And through learning about you, they learn about themselves. And I just think that's a beautiful thing.
It is. And it's so I know the recipe book is a special section, but you've also got other ones. Can you tell us a little bit about what options they have?
Sure. So you can make a book about absolutely any topic. that you want. There is no limit. Within the software, though, we do have what we call QuickBooks and embellishments. So the QuickBooks are books that include themed graphics,
mm-hmm.
like borders, frames, backgrounds, and other decorations that you can add mm-hmm. to the page mm-hmm. For themes like, you know, a baby girl or a baby boy, a family history. You know, we have like a parchment style background graphic for the history book, birthday books, you know, embellishments. So the embellishments are each individual item that make up a QuickBook.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned before the recipe books. They're actually a bit of a combination of a QuickBook and the embellishments. But what the QuickBook designs, by which I mean we've created beautiful graphics for a different kinds of recipe books. We have like a country classic theme that's got, you know, your gingham style imagery in it. We've got one called Tutti Frutti.
Oh, okay.
And that was based on graphics that were actually crayon sketches by one of our designers at the time. That's more of a contemporary look and feel. Anyway, what we do is we use those to create pages for, say, a title page, contents page. Then you've got your recipe page that has fields ready for you to fill in for the recipe title,
mm-hmm.
the serving options, the hours, the ingredients, and then the method.
Mm-hmm.
So we make those available to make it easy for people. And then, of course, you drop in your photos. But you don't have to have photos in the recipe book.
Mm-hmm.
You can adapt it as you please. So that's what we have for the recipe books. And look, we didn't have a recipe book. We didn't have recipe books in mind when we first started Memento, but we just saw that they kept coming through production.
And
it was really interesting. It basically demanded itself to be added to the range. And yes, at Christmas time especially, I can't tell you how much effort has gone into some of these family recipe books
mm-hmm.
that they'll print 20 of for the whole family. And I love the way that some of them, you know, some of them just have the recipe text with the photo of the dish, but others weave in photos of the family member who might have contributed the recipe or created the recipe, and a family gathering where they're eating it. One of my favorites, though, was very early in the piece, and a granddaughter had teamed up with her grandmother to create a recipe book because the granddaughter had the digital technological know-how and the grandma had all the recipes. So grandma provided the recipes, and then the granddaughter took the most incredible photos of the dish, but they were in the setting with all of grandma's like special china and doilies and all the appropriate kind of props around it. It was really beautiful. Yes, so we've seen some classic books come through.
Yeah.
But that's so on the QuickBook front, I'll just tell you the other things are like we have a yearbook. So
right.
A yearbook is one of the easiest and most popular books to create. And we've just created a QuickBook that is, let's say it's, if we've got 12 months, it might be 150 pages long. Oh, no, it wouldn't be that much. But basically we have each month a title page with the month's name. Then we have some pages there with what we call placeholders that people can drop their photos into. So that's what we have on the QuickBook front. But as I say, you can make any book on any subject you want. In terms of format, we base our sizes on A3, A4, and A5 sizes in landscape and portrait orientation. We also have square books, and they are based on the short side of the A4 sheet. So, for instance, 21 centimeters by 21 centimeters.
I like your sizings. It makes it so much easier.
Yes, it is different to a lot of the international providers who base theirs on the American standards, US letter size. We've based ours on what's most common in Australia and New Zealand, being the A3, A4 and A5 sizes.
Yes. It is amazing. I have to say the software, I do like using it. It's and as you say, it's for everyone. You know, you can go, like, if someone's a scrapbooker, they have all that stuff available, like the embellishments, the frames, the background colors and whatnot. I'm more of a minimalist. I like
I'm totally you know, with you, but totally it's, with you.
It's for everyone, and you provide it, and as you say, it's free. And what I like especially is that I don't need to work online. I can actually download the software to my computer, work offline, and once it's all done and ready, only then I upload it for print. And I do really, this is something as a user, so to speak, I really appreciate that. I find it makes it that little bit easier, not being
that's
online
music
all the
to
time.
My ears, Chantal, because that was always our premise as well, like, how would we like to work with our photos? And transferring photos and waiting for, like when we started back in 2004, you couldn't be guaranteed that you had a great internet connection. So transferring files, you know, up and down to the internet, and then maybe the connection drops out. I mean, that would be a very frustrating process from our perspective. And, you know, as I said, we were the second in the world, but then there were hundreds that have hundreds of photo book companies that have joined the market since then. And a lot of them chose only to make their software or their tools available online. And I distinctly remember it would have been 10 years ago or even more, when Jeff, my partner and the managing director and product manager here, ended up on a panel with some very big familiar brand names for photo books. And everybody else on the panel was saying, you've got to go online. You've got to make it all about templates. You've got to minimize the options. And that's the only way it'll work. And I remember sitting there in the audience, and Jeff conveyed this as well. Like, our customers loved the flexibility of the software. They loved the fact that, yes, if they were more of a scrapbooker, then yes, they can use graphics. Most of our customers don't seem to use the graphics these days. It's more about minimalist style. But they would not have appreciated the lack of options that you often get with online services.
And I think that's the thing, it's really being able to address the needs. And I think people listening, you know, I can imagine that it's nice to sort of have that option to learn about, even knowing that there's other options out there that are not just the online options. And I think it's been great also hearing just some of those popular, like the recipe books and the yearbooks and the different styles, because I know from feedback that we keep getting with people that, and what sort of projects that they're doing, we're always open to hearing new suggestions. And I love that recipe book one. I can just imagine people are out there going, okay, note to self, Christmas gift this year is design a family recipe book.
Well, if you want to give it another special twist, Fiona, we received a book from a wonderful woman called Jade, and she had created a recipe book that I love so much that I hired her, and she actually then went on to become a photo book designer. But she had a nonna who made gnocchi, and instead of having a different recipe per double page spread, she had a different step in nonna's gnocchi making session per double page spread. So, you know, creating the dough, creating the gnocchi balls, preparing the sauce. And it was just the most beautiful book and something really different. And interestingly, Nonna passed away a few years after that. So they ordered a few more copies. And we actually get a lot of people talking to us and using us who are inspired by when somebody special passes. And it's not until that moment that they really understand that, you know, they don't have that person anymore, and the photos are really such an important touchstone.
Absolutely. Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. It really is. It's such a, you know, it's just, there's so much meaning behind every one of these books. And I think that's what I'm hearing from you, that really does come through when you're finding, you know, people, whether they've used, you know, your services, or they, you know, they may, you know, have a look through the links in the show notes that we've, you know, we'll put out.
And there's plenty of other services out there who each have their own area of specialty. So yes, we know there's lots of other providers out there, and they all have their place.
Yeah, and I think that's lovely, because it really does, it just gives people options. And, you know, when you're doing these sort of jobs yourself as, you know, a whole range of reasons why people decide that they're going to get a book, it's just, yeah, it's lovely to hear sort of the deeper background reasons and, you know, inner workings of things like that with you guys. It's lovely.
So yeah. You mentioned that obviously you're based in Sydney, everything's in-house, which is another thing why we like using Momento, because it's, even though we're in Melbourne, it's still local for us.
Yeah. And we are one of the only locally produced photo book providers. Yeah. A lot of them are produced in Malaysia and Asia.
Yes, exactly. So this is, now you print here, which is already a point of differentiation, so to speak, compared to other printers. But how does it look like? Do you mentioned New Zealand a couple of times, so you do ship to New Zealand. Do you ship elsewhere internationally, or how does that work?
Unfortunately not, because Australia Post makes it prohibitive to ship products internationally. I honestly don't know how a lot of the other service providers manage to do it, but it's just not economically reasonable or justified for us to do so. So we do focus on the local market. And just having said that, as I mentioned before, we also, in the very early days, we were very controversial, because we supplied to both consumers and professionals. So we do have a larger market than some of the other photo book suppliers out there, because we have an offering for professionals as well. But up until we arrived on the scene, the album manufacturers only ever dealt with trade, so the businesses. So we had to have, you know, back in those days, you couldn't expose your pricing. We also had to make sure that we had a slightly larger offering for the professionals. So, yes, we don't have a broader geographical spread than Australia and New Zealand, as much as we'd love to. But we do have a broader range of photographers that we work with. We don't mind if you're just purely a photography lover who loves to snap a few shots, or you're a student photographer, or you're a fine art photographer, or even a published photographer.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, after all, Australia is not that little, so it's a pretty big market.
It is a big market. There is a lot of competition.
Yes.
So we just, our personal referrals are absolute gold for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So interested just to jump into some of the practical things about, well, I want to ask about turnaround times and sort of, you know, how those, just some of those practical things that I think are really good for people when they're designing books. to be aware of, and that's good information no matter where we are. But also then I want to jump into how to, you know, your ideas for designing books. But if you can just tell us firstly about just what people should be aware of when they are designing and they do want to get photo books printed. Just sort of what's your experience, obviously within your own business from within Memento, but then also just sort of industry start type expectations
Absolutely.
That people could look at and think about.
All right. Well, if we go back to the very beginning, of the process where you're taking the photos and you're starting your book, let's go with the photos. I think always photograph with a photo book format in mind. And just to give you an example of what I mean there, when you're traveling, don't just take the photograph of the front of every building or, you know, the animal shot. In a photo book, you want diversity and you want to keep making the viewer keep turning the page. And if you have the same kind of shot on every page, which does work in a portfolio and some situations, but if in your travel book, the aim is to tell the story of your journey, of the place you went to, the people you met and their, you know, the cultural traditions and rituals and the food you ate, you need to show that obviously in the photographs you take and the ones you choose for your book. So I often say, go and grab some close-ups of, you know, like let's say you're in Turkey, of all the beautiful tiles with the different designs on them, or, you know, that pomegranate, a photograph of the pomegranate split open and the, you know, you can see the pomegranate seeds, these things that define the culture. So consider that when you're photographing. Mm-hmm. So not every photograph has to be epic and a masterpiece. You actually need quieter, smaller, more detailed shots to weave in amongst them. Mm-hmm. So that's my, on the taking photographs front, that's my tip. The next thing is when you go to actually design your book, people say to me, how long does it take? Well, that's a piece of string. And with our software, you can make a book in 5 minutes. If you'd like, you use our autofill function and it lays out a beautiful design for you. You can also go in and edit that design. Alternatively, if you love creating and you want full creative control, you can take however long you'd like by using the manual tools. So, you know, you choose how long you want the process to be. I also say to people, I would prepare all your photos in advance if you want to make edits to them and post-produce them. But I don't want people to think they have to do all of that. You can do absolutely nothing to your photos before you make the book, and they will still look good in our software. Okay, so that's the photo front. Now, how do you design your book? How do you decide what size it's going to be, how many pages it's going to have, what kind of cover you want for it? Know what the purpose of your book is. That will guide you at every step of the way. And let's say, for instance, with the book on Turkey, which I created one a few years ago, I wanted to, you know, reflect some of the features that I saw in Turkey in the way I produced the book. Excuse me. Jeff and I took a lot of great panoramas of the sea, the port, and or a mosque. And in that case, we used those across. So we had a lot of landscape-oriented images. So we chose a landscape orientation because that seemed to fit. But of course, within a landscape orientation, you can easily add portrait-shaped photographs, which often tend to be portraits of people, and squares as well. But, you know, for instance, we had a woman who converted her Instagram feed to a printed photo book. And guess what size she chose or format? It was going to be square. So it was meaningful. It was thought through. And like I say, if you had do a series of portraits on people in your family or local community or at school, then a portrait orientation seems appropriate. For the Turkey book, I mean, the Bosphorus blue of the water over there, I loved that color. So I kind of used that as a repeating theme through the book on title pages. And then I chose a blue cover, a blue, I actually chose blue linen for the cover. But I also did a dust jacket that had a mosque image on the front. And then on the back, oh, sorry, I used on the first page, one of the beautiful tiles that I talked about. I used that in the background because it became another connecting graphic in the book, the tiles, different kinds. But as you could imagine, a really elaborate tile with text sitting on top makes the text very hard to read. So I dropped down I faded the image out so that a little bit, so you could still see a little bit of color and the design was clear, but you could read the text easily. And I made sure the title of my book reflected where I was, of course, but I did it with a little twist. So I called it Turkish Delight and added the name of the year, because that's something people often forget to do, is to date their book. And very often they forget to put their name in it somewhere, because it's your book. Yeah. But in 100 years' time, nobody will know that
that's
it's
a
yours.
Good point.
Yep.
I've
so
never
that's
done
my hot
that.
Tip. And maybe I think it might feel a bit gratuitous to put it at the front, maybe, but maybe not. You created this. It's your story. Why not? So you could put it at the end. So that's just a little bit of detail about how to choose the format. I would also say with our paper stocks, if you want your images, if you have beautiful, bright images that you want to pop on the page, using our satin luster or lay flat luster are great options. I always think about when I did a book for my mum's 80th birthday, and I chose our gorgeous eggshell stock, which has an ever so slight texture, but it is scientifically proven that when you interact with something that has a texture on it, it has a greater emotional impact on you. So you remember it more and you can recall the images more. And to me, that seems fitting in a history book, and also in a baby or a wedding book, because I don't know, it just has a softer, a more decorative feel to it. But it's all subjective. But choose, somebody did a book on Antarctica the other day and they chose our matte white paper, which was brilliant because it made the whites really pop, because it has optical brighteners in it, which make it very white. Now, I would say the more white optical brighteners you have in paper, though, the more likely and the faster it is to yellow. They call it foxing. So just put some thought into that as well. But for our books, I'll give you an example. The average book that we have created or produced over the last 12 months used our Satin 170 stock. It's our most affordable, you know, it's the oldest in the range. It's, although it's affordable, it's superior and it works with everything. It's got a little bit of gloss and a little bit of matte to it. It's kind of in between. Regular size, so that's your A4 size, you know, about 28 by 21 centimeters. Landscape orientation is the most popular. This does not mean you need to use it. I'm just giving you a bit of a feel for it. Personally, I like square format because I think it's actually quite contemporary. And also portrait formats are what you find more in a retail bookstore. So if you do make a portrait orientation book, I do strongly suggest that you use the lay flat paper, though, because especially if it's a thick, fat book, because the lay flat paper has that flexible hinge in it that allows the pages to kind of sit flat. Yeah. Now, the thicker the book is, the harder it is for the pages to sit flat. But if you were to use, say, our thicker satin paper stock, you'll get a much bigger gutter. So that's where the pages come out from the spine and you get that roundness. So just bear that in mind, that because the portrait book doesn't have as much width as a landscape book. It doesn't naturally sit as flat. The wider the page, the easier it is to flatten out. So just bear that in mind. But I'll just go back by saying that, yeah, regular landscape, most popular size, 75 pages of satin 170 paper, that's the average.
That's
pages, and not spreads. Pages.
We talk about pages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one side, the left page is one page, the right side is a second page. So 2 pages in a spread. Printed covers are our most popular. We make them available in a matte and a gloss laminate finish. The gloss is the most popular. My personal favorite is the matte. It has a beautiful, it's actually called velvet matte because it has a lovely touch to it. And, you know, I think I'm receptive to things that feel beautiful and interesting. Mm-hmm. And I love that concept of you remember them more. So on average, the average book that I've just outlined costs about $140, but you can make a book with us starting at, say, $69. You can make a book with us up to $1,000 if you really want to, if you use the larger size, the lay flat paper, you have lots of pages, you use a leather cover or a linen cover with an emboss on it, and you get a box, a matching clamshell box to go with that. I mean,
I did that. Yeah. You remember I did that for my son's 18th.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I still need to send you a picture. I did A3 actually because, yeah, there were lots of photos, right? Yes. So my usual A4 wasn't enough. So I got a A3 landscape and with that box because it was such a special book. And it's amazing. The best was he obviously didn't know what I was doing, but one day he walked in and I had a picture of him on my screen, not in the book, so he couldn't see the book, but a picture of him as a toddler, and he's like, oh, I hate looking at photos of myself. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I've spent nights designing that special gift and he hates pictures of him. What am I doing? So I simply chose to ignore it and I did the book, and he loves it.
I was interested to hear what you were saying.
It's and I will send you that picture with him holding it.
Thank you. We love that. That's special when we get the photo.
So special. It's really great. And as you say, the texture and, you know, just opening up that box. And
that was a high impact book, large size.
Yes.
You know, yes. Was it landscape?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be an awesome, an epic book in every way.
It is, it's not the usual, you know, the travel photo book. For that I seem to be pretty average. I always use the landscape A4.
Yep. And look, if anybody's unsure about what paper stock to use, I totally suggest Satin 170 works with everything. The eggshell I was speaking about is beautiful, but if you want vibrant colors with high contrast, because it's any any uncoated stock will always slightly desaturate the color, but that can work in some instances, like a vintage wedding or something like that, or even a history book. But yes, Satin 170 is just the most versatile and the most affordable. And yet we try to get as many environmentally friendly materials, raw materials that we can. If you're interested in that side of things, then I would suggest that the eggshell is the most enviro-friendly. But they're all superior paper stocks.
Interesting.
That's fantastic. So before we sort of, unfortunately, we can talk photo books all day.
Yeah. But,
But before we you know, go to any kind of a wrap up, and we can find out sort of how to find you and all different types of things, what kind of lead times should people be aware of as far as your printing? I know we always get our emails from you guys about deadlines and things like that. But what sort of other times of the year and Christmas is sort of more realistic for expectations?
So you don't have to stress. So our standard turnaround times are 14 days for the books and 7 days for our stationery. I don't think I've mentioned them yet, but we also produce calendars, desk calendar and wall calendars, diaries, where they are a QuickBook design as well. So you go into the software and all the pages are laid out for you, and you just choose, do you want to insert a photo every week, every fortnight, or every month? So that's our diaries. We also have notebooks where you just customize the cover and then you can insert diary pages or recipe pages or lined notes, those kinds of things. So they take, and cards, beautiful cards, they take 7 days. So peak periods, we do often advise that there is an extended production time. So my hot tip is start thinking about, if you want to make a photo book for Christmas, start thinking about it now, especially if you want it to be a yearbook, because that's a whole nother concept of lead time other than just our production time. But 3 weeks before our cutoff. Now, our cutoff is usually around the first week of December, because we need our 2 weeks, 3 weeks really, production at that time of year to ensure things get out on time. So when I give you these figures, I'm just talking about the time for us to produce it here. You also need to allow for delivery time. So we have standard delivery and express post delivery. We actually turn off the standard delivery option, I think, in say mid-November, because we want to ensure that it gets to you, because Australia Post cannot always guarantee their defined turnaround times. You also need to allow a little bit extra if you live in the regional areas. So, you know, to be calm and relaxed with your Christmas delivery, I'd order 4 weeks in advance, but you can get up to 3 weeks in advance, and you really just need to keep an eye on our emails at that time of year, because we do have a deadline, but if there is capacity, we see that there is still more capacity to put more books through the production facility, we might extend it by a few days. Yes, so keep your eye on that. And talking about lead times, especially at Christmas, our sale, we generally have a Christmas sale, and the sale on books is a little bit earlier than that, because we don't want the thousands to all arrive in the 1 week. So we entice you to make your book a little bit earlier with a discount. So you get the best of every world. Then you get a bit of, you get some savings, and you save yourself stress at the other end.
Yeah.
So
perfect. Yeah. That's really good. Thank you, Libby. Thank you so much for your time. Now, before we go, I did want to ask, is there something that we haven't asked you that you would like us to have asked you?
Sure. Sure. Look, I could talk for hours about photo books, as you can already tell. I did mention before, though, I think let the purpose of the book guide you in terms of design. And Chantel, you said it way back at the beginning of the podcast, minimalist design, less is more in so many regards. Less when it comes to choosing the photos. Chantel, I imagine that the process of choosing the photographs for your son's 18th book took quite a bit of time. That's why I say people, sort your photos out first, then start on your design, because they're really two different processes.
But as you say, as you said, it is the purpose that needs to be clear, because that guides you through choosing the photos. In this one case, it became very clear very early on, even though I went through the photos in a chronological order in my photo collection. You know, I started when I felt pregnant and whatnot. So that was, I chose them chronologically, but as I did so, topics emerged, sort of. And then I decided not to get hung up on the chronological order so much, but on topics. So I had a spread about where I had all the school photos, you know, where you can, this is a beautiful one to see how they change over the years. I had a spread about, you know, fun times with funny shots. I had a few pages about traveling the world, or, you know, school days, or coming into the world with all the ultrasound images and all that, and just after birth. And that was so much easier to design rather than stick to chronological order. It was so much fun.
Well, thank you. I was going to suggest that too. You don't have to stick with chronological. So if you found that a lengthy process for your son's 18th, well, my mum's 80th took quite a bit of time to do the selecting. So don't, I mean, but I don't want people to feel overwhelmed by that process. Mm. It's actually a beautiful process go through as well.
Yeah.
And just on that note, if you do need to scan old prints, we have instructions on the website about that, and I'm sure you ladies have lots of advice you can provide. But you don't have to keep it in chronological order. It can be themed. You know, with my family, it's obvious when baby school, you kind of get there, and then, you know, sports or travel or life in one town or city, and then you move to another country. There's different kinds of things. But what I would like to say, having just said that, is I suggest you don't start with a history book as your first book. I suggest start with a travel book or a holiday book, because there is a really defined topic and purpose. The timeline is set, given how long you were away for. And it just allows you to get a process working, because I imagine a lot of people, when they come to make a photo book, haven't actually got all their photos sorted. So use this as the opportunity to not just think you have to have everything sorted first before you do any photo book. Just go, I'm just going to take a little bite. I'm just going to deal with the photos from our last holiday to New Zealand. And that helps you keep it contained and manageable. At that point, I also say we can take literally in 1 week's holiday, I can still take thousands of photos. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm sure I'm not the only one. But you just need the best of the best. I used to laugh at people when they'd look at books that Jeff and I had made. So, yes, we do use our own product and service. And they'd say, oh, wow, your book looks so great. You're such great photographers. And what I would say to them is, look, we're okay photographers, but I'm a harsh, harsh color if the photo isn't, you know, compositionally beautiful, if it's not beautiful and it's out of focus, or I've got another one that's better, I'll just choose the best of the best, and that's what I go with. But I do want to say on that note, your photos do not have to be perfect to be included in the book. You can include older photos that have like scratch marks and, you know, maybe a little bit blurry. If that photo has important meaning to the purpose of that book. Mm-hmm. So when those kinds of things happen, I know some people love to retouch their family history photos, you know, for hours. Go for it if you love it. if the thought makes you feel ill, do not worry. Put it in as it is, because it kind of is, it shows like the rounded corners or the little corner. It's all about the nostalgia. So long and short of it is, yes, keep your book contained and less is more. Less photos in the book, and because you've got to keep the reader engaged, and less photos on a page. Mm-hmm. I have an average of, say, 1 to 2 photos per spread of my book. And don't forget about having an image span across a double page. If you've got a great landscape or panoramic shot, show it off across the double page spread. If you've got some outtakes, like I went to Japan recently and took these photos of all the funny little signs and moments that I witnessed. They weren't great photographs on their own, so I put them into a grid of 9 on a page at the end of the book, because they weren't as meaningful, but they still reflected my experience. But whatever you do with however many images you have on the page, keep white space there. The photos are the heroes of your book. So let them stand out. A hero shot that's epic and meaningful deserves a page on its own, or just to be viewed with another image. If it's not so important, it can be viewed with others around it. Mm-hmm. So less frames. If you're adding text, please be thoughtful about the text sizing and white space around text. So if you do include it, keep space between the text and the edge of the page, between the text and a photograph, and have a look. Here's my best tip. Go and have a look at photo books you love in a bookstore or on your bookshelf and look at what they do. Or you can visit our Book of the Month Winners Gallery and our inspiration pages, because I only choose what I think are the most successful designs. They don't all have to be stunning and, you know, like they're designed by a professional. Because a history that has a scrapbooking style works for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If that's the kind of person grandma was.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's good. And I think it's that sort of inspiration. It's so lovely. I love those ones, for the books of the month. Now tell us before we go, an elevator pitch, like you've just been given a little space to shout to the world about photo books and what they mean, and just to encourage or inspire people in this area. What would your parting words want to be to people today?
How would you like yourself to be remembered in the future? Like, what's your photographic legacy? Imagine telling the story of your life. And also, what would you love to be able to see now about your great grandparents, or, you know, even beyond that? What would you love to learn about them? Because remember, the book isn't just for you, but it's also a great way for you to express yourself. And keep your photo collection up to date and organized, and then it doesn't become overwhelming. If you feel overwhelmed now, it can be sorted, and that's where you guys, are the professionals and lead them that way. But keep things up to date and just enjoy the process. You can spend 5 minutes making it. You can spend 5 hours or 5 months if you prefer, but enjoy the experience. And print, whatever you do, just print.
It is. We've always said it's the best backup. It is the best backup of digital photos. It's just another way that people don't realize is just a beautiful opportunity to save those memories and the most special ones.
And walk down memory lane. Like Jeff has a 150-year-old daguerreotype of his great somebody or other, but we can't get a photo off a floppy disk or a CD-ROM from just, possibly 8 years ago of us.
Because,
we can't access it. I've given you a bit of an extreme there, but you want to have a record of your life.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Well, Thank you so much. It's really been such a joy and such an insight, and we can see your passion and enthusiasm for just that final product and all of what goes into it. And it really is a reflection of what you've all created at Memento. So thank you, Libby.
Thanks so much,
It's been a delight for me, and I want to just remind your viewers and your community that because they are part of your community, that they get a special offer with us, which is 20% off their next photo book. And yeah, I suggest maybe think of that for a Christmas gift and start now if you're doing a yearbook, and then you can just add to it every month and enjoy it.
That's so a good cool. idea. Thank you so much, Libby. That's very generous. So we'll put the links in the show notes, and also the links to, you know, the book of the month, so that people can get some inspiration of how a book could look like. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, definitely. We'll put that all in the show notes.
Thank you. And I'll also fling you the link to our video on how to make a book in 5 minutes using the autofill function, and then one using our templates. They're my hot tips. Use the autofill if you're not feeling creative or you want to get creatively inspired. But the templates, and I should point out the double page spread templates, which are new, they're the best. They're great. That's what I use.
That's so good.
Awesome. Our listeners, you're in for a treat there.
You go, Chantel.
Yeah, I go.
I've left you speechless, haven't I?
You have. No, actually very inspired. Now I can't wait. My mom is turning 80 this year. Yeah. And yes, so you've inspired me. You know, I had thought about it, but no concrete plans. But now I want to dive in.
Well, I totally suggest that you, if you have the time and the desire to do it, contact maybe 10 friends who could give you some words to add to the book, and possibly with their favorite photo. It's those kinds of additions that turn it from being a record into a keepsake. And that's what I think is so meaningful and valuable.
It is. I had done that for my son's book. I had asked grandparents and godparents to write a few words and a few special memories and send a few photos. And yes, that was received very well. That was
Did you give made them a big deadline difference. Because that's the big clincher. You've got to give them a serious deadline.
Yes, of course. We organizers, right?
Of course. Why didn't you think of that?
Okay, look, we're gonna wrap it up. So again, thank you very much, Libby. It was such a pleasure to have you. And listeners, as always, you will find all the links in the show notes. We are, of course, always very happy to receive any feedback and reviews. And please also don't forget that we've got a wish list. So if you have any questions that we haven't answered yet in one of our past podcasts, please use the wish list and let us know how we can help. That's what we're here for. And we look forward to hearing from you. And until then, I think that's all. I'll say goodbye. And I am Chantel from Photos in Order.
And I'm Fiona from Photo Helper. And thank you, Libby from Memento. It's been wonderful having you. And as always, tune in, happy organizing, and we will talk again soon. Bye.
Bye.